Our Father, in the name of Lord Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to fellowship on the written word and to fellowship with one another. And our Father, we ask that as we look into your word now, every eye is open to see, every ear is open to hear, we believe and receive the fullness of light, revelation, and insight in all of this house. We thank you, Father, we give you praise, for we know it's done. For in Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen. You can take your seat. Okay, the subject of fasting. Amen. Now, we've been looking at this subject for quite some time. In the first session, we gave a brief introduction to the subject of fasting. We saw what fasting is, its importance, and examples of people who fasted in Scripture, both in the Old and New Testament portion of Scripture. We saw the various words used to describe fasting in the Scriptures. The Old Testament has the word somei, okay, which is gotten from another Hebrew word, som, which literally means to cover the mouth, that is to abstain from food. And the New Testament has the Greek word nestia, the noun, and nestio, the verb. Now both words have the same meaning, which is an abstinence from food, to stay away from food, basically. We said the English word fast is gotten from an Anglo-Saxon word feist, F-A-E-S-T, which carries the idea of restraining oneself, to fasten one's appetite, literally to put a rope around one's appetite. Now, this is what fasting does. We said fasting helps to curb lust, to help to restrain appetites. In fact, in this day and age, you can also fast over the things, not just food. You can stay off the internet, movies, or worldly music when they start to control you. You can do without them again. Okay, that's a problem. So the aim of fasting is to exercise self-control. You are in control of your body more and more when you fast. Fasting helps us to say no to the flesh. Then in the last service, we saw fasting in the Old Testament in depth, the particular circumstances in which people fasted and the benefits they got from the same. So today we round off on this by examining fasting in the New Testament. Okay, in depth. Now, know that fasting does not change in the New Testament. Some have asked the question, should believers fast under grace? Some even go as far as saying that fasting is legalism and we are not under the law. Now, that is interesting because the New Testament says no such thing. The New Testament shows us the importance of prayer and fasting. Now, let's see examples of fasting in the New Testament, beginning with our Lord. So, bullet point here, fasting in the life and teachings of Jesus. Fasting was very important to Jesus. It was a key part of his ministry and teachings. You see that after Jesus is baptized in Matthew chapter 3, he is endued with power from on high, verses 16 to 17 of that same chapter. It says, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove, underlined from he to dove, and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But interestingly, Jesus doesn't launch out to start ministry immediately. Rather, he is led into the wilderness to fast. Matthew 4:1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, underline that from he to night, afterward he was hungry. Now some have argued that this wasn't a dry fast. Okay, Matthew says afterward he was hungry, not afterward he was hungry and thirsty. Okay, so it could have been a wet fast whereby he drank water. Do you follow that argument? Okay, but nowhere does the text say this. Okay, so we should not speculate. Okay, now it's also interesting to note that Satan's first temptation to Jesus involved food. Matthew 4, 3-4. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Underline from command to bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Underline that from man to alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus immediately puts spiritual food, God's word, above the natural, physical bread. Now, it is interesting also that Jesus never gave an instruction to fast. Okay? He gave an instruction to pray, Luke 18:1. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray, underline that men always ought to pray, and not lose heart. See also Matthew 6:5-7 for that. He also gave us an instruction to love. Matthew 5:43. It says, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Underline that, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. But interestingly, nowhere does it give a clear instruction to fast. The closest we have is Matthew 9:14. Matthew 9:14. It says, then the disciples of John came to him, saying, him there being the Lord Jesus Christ, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Underline that, and then they will fast. So this implies that a certain time was coming when fasting would be a necessity for the followers of Christ. Now it tells us when, verse 15 of that same chapter, it says the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. So referring to his physical presence on the earth. So it would stop being around physically. Do you follow that? But aside this, there appears to be no other command in the entire New Testament instructing believers to fast. Observe, I said, there appears to be no clear, okay, instruction or command in the entire New Testament instructing believers to fast. However, we can learn from practice, okay, what wasn't given as instructions. Okay, there might be no clear instructions, but there is the practice of fasting in the New Testament. If our Lord fasted, oh, are we not to fast? Amen. So there might be no clear instructions to fast, but we can learn from Jesus' actions. Jesus also warned against hypocritical fasting. Okay? Fasting must not be done to show off. Matthew 6:16-18. Matthew 6:16-18. Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. Underline that, disfigure their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Underline from that to fasting. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to men to be fasting. Underline from so to fasting. But to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So spiritual activities must never be done as show off, but as communion with God. Now notice here also that Jesus says when you fast, not if you fast. See that there? Okay, the Greek literally says whenever you're fasting. So a specific time, right? So Jesus presumed that his followers would fast. In Matthew 6, Jesus gives three Christian duties. Three. The first is charity. You find that verses 1-4 of that same chapter. The second is prayer. Verses 5-15 of that same chapter. And fasting. Verses 16-18. And Jesus always uses the word when speaking of these duties. Okay? Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, verses 2 and 3, you find out there. And when you pray, verse 5. And lastly, when you fast, verses 16-17 of that same chapter. So, Jesus puts giving, prayer, and fasting on the same level. Do you see that? Okay, if giving is an obligation, if prayer is also an obligation, then so is fasting. So, can we truly say that Jesus did not give instructions for us to fast? No. Do you follow that? It is better to say he didn't give explicit instructions. Do you follow that? Clear instructions. That is, fast on this day, by this time, for this number of hours. He didn't give that. But in his words, you find that obligation. When you fast. Okay? He left the specifics for us. Okay, so we determine when we fast and for how long, but we are to fast. Do you follow that? We have that obligation. Now let's see fasting in the life of the early church. Okay, another bullet point for you here. Now fasting was a custom of the early church in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, 103. Acts 13, 103. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was also called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahan, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, and they ministered to the Lord and fasted. Underline that, and fasted. The Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which you have called them." Then, having fasted and prayed, underline that, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. Fasting was instrumental in this meeting. Notice that it was simply to wait on the Lord, but supernatural direction came forth through it. Acts 14 also records another fast. Acts 14:23. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, underline that, prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Now this was to strengthen the souls of the converts and for the appointment of spiritual authority. 30 to 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection, Paul wrote letters to the church. Now in these letters, he spoke of voluntary fast which he observed. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 5, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings. Paul here recounts his ordeals as an apostle. He includes fastings. Okay, now notice the plurality. He also speaks of fasting in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27. It says, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, underline that, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Fastings are mentioned again. So this denotes that Paul did this frequently. Now Paul also instructs in 1 Corinthians 7 verse 5. You may turn your Bible there quickly. 1 Corinthians 7 5. He says, do not deprive one another, except with consent for a time, that you might give yourselves to fasting and prayer. Underline that, from that to prayer, and come together again, so that Satan does not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Now here, Paul instructs married couples to abstain from sexual relationship for a time. Why? In order to fast and pray. Do you follow that? An obligation. Hallelujah. Okay, now next bullet point here, guidelines for fasting. Okay, so the early church fasted, you see that? Okay, there were instructions to fast. Guidelines for fasting, how should we fast? Now, number one here, see fasting as normal Christian responsibility. Okay, fasting is normal Christian responsibility. It's not something you do when you need something from God. Okay, or when things don't go well. Especially in Nigeria here, you find that the only time some Christians fast is before marriage in this country. Ah, Oluwa, Jekin Bimo. Amen. Quite silly. Fasting should be a culture, whether things are going well or not. Do you follow that? Number two, set a realistic fasting period. Okay? So you should not be attempting fasting for 40 whole days. Amen. Now, in this church, we fast for 5 months each year. Amen. That's our culture. 5 months each year. But we break each day, right? Okay? So don't hurt yourself trying to emulate Moses or Elijah. In their case, they had supernatural strength. Remember I said that, right? Okay, so the power of God was working in their bodies to stay 40 days without eating. So that was superhuman. You can call that a miracle. Do you follow that? So you do not attempt that today. Now, number three here. Fasting is not just abstinence from food. Now, like we've seen, the issue with fasting is not eating. Okay, it is not eaten to focus on spiritual things. So while fasting, give yourself to spiritual exercise. Okay, don't just fast. While fasting, pray. Hallelujah. Study the word. Listen to sermons. Don't fast and be watching Netflix. Okay, or attend a party. Let go of all distractions and pleasures as you fast. Number four here. Avoid fasting to show off. Okay, don't get unnecessarily moody just so people can ask you, are you fasting? Amen. You know, some people do this. During their fasting, they slam doors. Amen. In the house, bah! They frown. They are irritable while fasting just so people can notice. Jesus says to fast with a cheerful face. Hallelujah. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. You find out there. Fast with a cheerful face. Don't also boast about how long you fasted. Remember, fasting is to humble you. So watch your motives. Isaiah 58 shows that motives are important in fasting. Number 5. If you're on medication or you are sick, it is advisable not to fast until you get better. Now, we do that in this church. I don't permit sick people to fast. Okay? Get well first, then you can join us. Now, number 6, watch your diet while fasting. Now, you won't find all of this in scripture again. Amen? All of this comes from experience. Okay? Now, medical practitioners advise eating fruits while fasting. Also, drink a lot of water. Amen. Now, this gives rise to the question of wet and dry fast. Have you heard that before? Wet and dry fast, especially in Nigeria. Amen. Now, during a fast, some people drink water. They call it a wet fast. Others even drink juice. Amen. Or milk. Now, some have asked, is this correct? Can you take water, liquid, fluids, while fasting? Well, none of the examples we find in scripture did this. Do you follow that? The type of fasting known to the Bible is dry. Okay? Eating and drinking nothing at all. Is that understood? Okay? Now, number 7. Breaking your fast. Okay? How to break your fast. What to do, what not to do. Now, misconceptions about breaking a fast. Under number 7. Number 1. You have not broken your fast if you accidentally taste something. Amen. So, you are cooking in the kitchen, right? And then you forget your fasting, then you put the string in your mother. Remember, spit it out. Amen. Wash your mouth and continue fasting. Because some Christians are very funny. They will be happy once they taste something. Say, okay, now I can break my fast. Amen. Oh Lord. Spit it out and continue fasting. Don't worry, God is gracious, okay? Spit it out, you continue your fast. Hallelujah. Number 2 here, misconception. You've not broken your fast if you tell someone you're fasting. Amen. Again, there is a funny doctrine in Nigeria. Say, don't tell people you're fasting, no. Otherwise, God will be angry with you. Ridiculous. No such thing. You only break your fast when you've eaten something. You follow that? You've chewed and you swallowed. Is that understood? Okay, number 3. You don't have to break your fast simply because you feel tired, hungry, or dizzy. And some Christians are very dramatic. Okay, you ask fast, they break the fast by 10 or by 9. Say, why didn't you fast till the afternoon? Say, Pastor, I was seeing double O. I thought I was going to die. You know, I just had to break. Sure, that's part of it. Are you following this? I personally, I fasted till I started forgetting people's names. Another time, you know, I was fasting and I just started running. Amen. I don't know where. I was just running. Praise the Lord. My flight and fight response just kicked in. In my room, I was just running. Hallelujah. So, you should feel delirious. Okay, that's the training. Is that understood? So, discipline yourself. What did I say? Discipline yourself. Wait the hunger out. Amen. Set your face. Hallelujah. Just like Daniel, right? Then you break. You see that usually after 2 or 3 fasts, you get used to it, right? Okay. Also, you should not be in an haste to break your fast. Again, some people are on this table. Amen. Some will prepare food, right? In your, you put it in front of them, and they'll be waiting. They're supposed to break your fast by 4. They've prepared it by 3. It's on the table. They are waiting till the time. This shouldn't be. Okay, don't be in an haste to break your fast. Before you break your fast, pray. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for strength. Sing psalms. Okay? Another point here. Break your fast with a light meal. Okay? A very light meal. Don't overwhelm your stomach. Some people will break their fast with eba. You can start with liquids. Okay? Something light or fruits. Then you wait a little while and build up from there. Is that understood? Okay, so in conclusion, fasting is Christian responsibility. Do you see that now? Okay? Paul tells us that we are saved to do good works. Hallelujah. See Ephesians 2, 8 to 10 as we close. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Underline that. for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So I'm saved by grace through faith, not of myself, it is the gift of God. Why? Because I'm known as workmanship, created in Christ for good works. I'm created in Christ for good works. Hallelujah. See Titus 2:11. As we close, Titus 2:11. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly. Underline that. From weak to godly in the present age. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearance of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. Underline that. From that to date, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Hallelujah. Underline that. Zealous for good works. I'm zealous for good works. Okay. Now, fasting is one of such good works. Do you follow that? Okay. So, it is clear. Jesus didn't do everything for us. Are you following this? Okay. We also have responsibilities. Are you here? Okay, the finished work of Christ doesn't include some things. For example, Jesus didn't evangelize for us, right? Okay, we are to evangelize. Go into all the world, right? Preach the gospel to every creature. Hallelujah. Also, Jesus didn't pray for us. Do you follow that? Now, in the sense of a finished work, that is, you don't need to pray again. No, we pray. Do you follow that? Also, Jesus didn't love for us. We are to love others. That's a responsibility, not a reality. Also, Jesus didn't fast for us. Do you get it now? Okay, we fast. Hallelujah. So, we are responsible Christians given to good works. Say, I'm a responsible Christian given to good works. Say like your minister, I'm a responsible Christian given to good works. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Did you learn? Give chance, give him praise. Thank him.